The following shir is delivered by Rav Yosef Greenwald, member of the Beis Chabad Le'Inyoni Mishpat, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.
Shmuel Daf Mem Vov. There's a din d'rabbanon that whenever a person collects a choiv, a malva comes to a loiv, even if he has a shtar, the malva comes to a loiv with a shtar that says that the loiv owes him $100 prepared on such and such a date. If the loiver says that in actuality he doesn't owe the money anymore, he had previously paid the malva, despite the fact the malva could be moitz at the moment, because he has a shtar, the loiver can't deny being mechuyev. However, midrabbanan, the loiver has a right to demand that the malva make a shvua in collecting his choiv. We do not allow a person to collect money for a choiv or for anything else without being mechuyev shvua. Obviously, bizman hazeh, this requirement is waived, because we don't administer shvuas in bezin bizman hazeh. But as far as the ikar halacha, the way the rishonim, the way the shulchan aruch paskens it, every time a malva collects from a loiver, the malva, if challenged by the loiver, will have to back up his claim with a shvuah. The goyim were mechadish that this is true even when the malva is holding on to a mashkin, which means the malva has a piece of jewelry. We discussed the pawn shop a few days ago. The pawn shop is holding on to the woman's candlesticks. The candlesticks are worth $100, and the man and the owner of the store gave the woman who came with the candlesticks $100 to be paid in installments over the next 6 months, let's say. She comes a few months later and she claims that he has to give her back her candlesticks, that she had paid him money last week, and he says, I never got money. Despite the fact that he's believed because he's holding on to the candlesticks, which means that he's a muhsik on the candlesticks, it's as good as having a shtar. If she had already paid the choiv, then why would she not have already taken back her candlesticks? Elamai, it's poshut that he's right. And still the halacha is, the goyim say, that since he's being goyv the choiv, this falls within the confines of the din of person who's being goyv chayim is only any nifra el of a shvua. He has to collect the money with a shvua's anoitlin. Again, this is a case of shvua's anoitlin. Where be'etzem there should be a collection without, there's a shtar, or there's a mashkin that proves that the malva has a right to collect. But the halacha is they instituted a shvua in order to protect the person who the money is being taken away from. The problem is that this chiddush of the goyim seems to be a direct contradiction to Gemara and today's daf. The Gemara says towards the top of Mavav and Aleph Meisrei, Hanoisin Talisa Luumon, a person gave a item of clothing to a tailor. Uman Oimer Kotzatz Toli Shtayim. The Uman says, you promised me that if I'll fix it up, if I tailor it correctly, you'll give me 2 coins. And he says, no, I only offered you 1 coin. And in this case, the woman wants to be moitzi mami from the bala bayis. The burden of proof should be on the woman. The halacha is not that way. If the talis, if the item of clothing on the question is in the hands of the tailor, so then he has a right to say, look, I'm holding on to the baguette, and when you come around and you say that you owe me $2 and not one, then I'll give you back your clothing. He is to be considered the muhsik, the umma that is, the tailor, and therefore he collects the money. It would seem the pashtus of the price is that he does not have to make a shvur. He's Nemon. It says Al Balabai's Lavi Raya, which means the woman is believed without, and he'll be able to be mitzvah without having to make a shvur. So, in truth, the Rambam seems to answer this question. B'toichik, the Rambam in Hilchos Chiyus Perek Yud Aleph, when he brings down this din of a talis biyad ha'uman. So the Rambam says that over here the Uman will have to make a shvur, which means that the Rambam is saying that there is no stir. The same way the Goyim instituted that even where a person has a collateral in his hand against the Choyim, when he's collecting the Choyim, he's considered to be Pereya from somebody else, he has to make a shvur. The halacha will be true as well by a tailor, by an Uman, even though he has the talis, the thing that he fixed. The Yodoy, the halacha will be that he can only be goyver with a shvur. However, the Ramban in Mochamis Bayos in the Sugya Nafnavon asked this kasha, and he does not agree to the Rambam's interpretation, because the Pashas of the Braisa is that the woman could collect the money on the Balabais without a shur. And in order to answer this theory, he offers a very profound insight into the chilik between collecting a choyv and collecting payment for work. And I think this is something that's worth sharing. This will give us a clarity in various halachas and various sugyas that relate to these two areas of halacha. One, the area of halacha called gvias choyv, and one, the area of halacha called collecting for services rendered. The Ramban brings the sugya at the end of Bava Kama. The Gemara discusses uman kainu b'shvachli or ein uman kainu b'shvachli. Just to make it more real, let's give a real case that actually happened. There was a woman who yarshined, her mother passed away, and one of the things she yarshined from her mother was a rather old-fashioned mink coat, which mink coats being rather out of style, and the style of the coat was not only are mink coats out of style, but the style of the coat was outdated. Obviously she wasn't going to wear the coat. To let it just sit in the closet is a shame. It's an expensive piece of clothing. So what she did was she took it to a high class tailor, and she asked the tailor to use the mink and to sew cuffs and like a scarf type of attachment onto the coats of 3-4 of her young daughters. To do such a thing would make the children's coats very stylish, whereas she herself did not want to wear the coat itself. Now, the coat, in terms of market value, is worth very little. The mink coat. Nobody would wear it. Nobody would buy it. It's outdated. It's out of style. Nobody would buy such a coat. However, the children's coats, the regular coats that now have an added touch of a mink collar and a mink sleeve. Not sleeve. What do they call it? A cuff. Would upgrade the value of the children's items by a large amount. Now, the Gemara discusses uman kain b'shvachli, when an uman, in this case the tailor that's making the item, or a tailor that was given fabric and she sews a wedding gown, an expensive wedding gown, and obviously the item of the wedding gown is much more than the fabric. Obviously the item of the value of anything that's given to a professional to fix up will be worth more. That's why it's worth doing. And the person is going to be paid for enhancing the item and the value of that item after the improvements and the alterations are made. So the Gemara has a tzad. The Gemara brings the sheet of Amiroyim that uman kainu b'shvachli, which means that the uman now owns the item under question. Therefore, what would happen? Let's say the uman had produced a stunning wedding gown, and now the uman was negligent, and the coat, the gown or the coat, whatever the item is that he produced or she produced, was ruined. Let's say the item was in the store and something got spilled. It was a can of paint that the tailor tipped over and it spilled all over the gown. Does the tailor owe the owner of the gown for the value of the gown? Meaning to say, the fabric that was given to him cost $100. The gown that was now produced cost $1,000. It's worth $1,000. And the can of paint was tipped over now onto a gown, ruined the gown that was worth $1,000. Does the tailor the owner of the gown $1,000because he or she ruined that person's item of clothing? Or we say no. The item of clothing was never given back to the owner. Right now, anytime a person produces something, any creation that a person creates or produces belongs to him, which is the halachic argument that copyrights can be enforced by halacha. Even though it seems to be a man-made invention, it doesn't seem to have any basis in Shas and Poiskim, but there are enough examples in the Poiskim of intellectual property belonging to a person, not intellectual property in the Chazal, but things that were created, creations of a person, belong to him. Therefore, it could be that an intellectual creation, a song or a book, or an idea, an invention, would belong to the Arura. So this idea is debatable. We're not going to get into it. I was just bringing it as an example of such a concept. And the Gemara says in Tzad that the coat belongs to the person who created it, insofar that the person who ordered it didn't pay it for it. Obviously, when he pays for it, it goes to him. What's happening then? What he's doing is he's buying the coat from the tailor that produced the coat. The creation belongs to the tailor, belongs to the carpenter, or to whatever it is, whoever it is that created that thing. And when the customer comes back, what he's doing is he's paying money and buying the coat, or the creation, the coat or the gown, from the tailor that produced it. In which case, after he buys it, obviously if the tailor is mazik it, you would have to pay the full value of the item, but meanwhile, it still belongs to the tailor. Lemaisa, we pass him halacha that the coat immediately, the gown immediately belongs to the owner, the person who owned the material. The person who gave the material to the tailor owns the coat or gown as soon as it was made. And therefore, if the can and paint was tipped over after the coat or the gown was already produced, the negligent tailor would have to pay for the full value of the gown. Obviously, if he's paying for the full value of the gown, he does not have to... You still have to pay him for the work that was done. Because the same way you're receiving the full value of the gown, it's as if you were receiving the gown itself. So you would have to pay the tailor for the work that was done. If you want, you can make a trade. But usually the full value of the gown as it's made will offset the cost of paying the tailor for his work. So getting back to our discussion, the Ramban says that even according to the Manda Omer, that we paskin, that that the kli that was produced, the gown or the coat, immediately belongs to the owner of the fabric or the owner of the original min coat that was used to make these new coats. Still, the Ramban says what's really going on is that the tailor is holding on to the item and he's selling the item to the customer who comes back to the store. So he says that's why in our Gemara there's no shvur. He says the shvur is hanoitel the chazal and the sakin. For anybody who's collecting a choiv is only insofar that he's collecting money from somebody else. If Reuven is owed money by Shimon, so when Reuven collects money from Shimon, even if he's holding on to a mashkin, what he's really doing is he's taking money away from Shimon. And Chazal said that Reuven cannot take away money from Shimon unless he makes a shvur hanoitel. It happens to be that Reuven has a mashkin keneged the choyv that's biyad Shimon, but in actuality, when he collects cash value of the choyv from Shimon, he's taking money away from Shimon, and that could only be with the shvur. That's the halacha, the way they're going and paskin. However, by an umman, in the case of the Avodah Gemara, what's really going on is that the customer is paying the tailor or the carpenter, whoever created whatever was created, he's paying him in order to get the coat. Therefore, when the tailor has a fight, in the case of Al-Mawr, the tailor has a fight with the customer, and the tailor says, you owe me kach for kach, what he's saying is, I'm not willing to give you the coat that I'm giving you for less than that price. He's not taking away money. He's saying that I'm not willing to give up the coat for that amount of money. I'm not willing to sell you, even though it's not a real sale, because the coat is owned by the customer, but the right of the balabo, of the umman, of the tailor, is to hold on to that item until payment is rendered. So the tailor, when he's saying that I'm not giving you the coat until you give me the what I claim the price that was made up between us, this is justified, because what he's doing is he's saying I'm not willing to sell the coat that I produced, my creation, I'm not willing to sell for less than kach v'kach. This is what was made up. Obviously, if a different price is made up, he can't demand more. But if this is the price that was made up, he has a right to demand that. Now, Moitzim Echavel V'Rai on the Balabos. The Ramban says, in the case of Al-Gumar, there will not be a shkur. So again, as far as the Ramban is concerned, and the Ketzoyis HaKoshin seems to pass him like this Ramban, there's an essential chilik between the Maisa Gvias Choyv of a craftsman who's demanding his fee, where there's an item under, where the item that was created by him is under question, an interior designer that created a custom outfit or created a custom item to fit the, or let's say even a computer programmer that designs a program that's tailor-made for the needs of his client. The halacha will be that if there's an argument about how much was made up to be paid, he can hold on to that item and he can say, I'm not willing to give it to you until you give me the full sum. And the bezel will not hold against him that he should have to make a shvua, because the halacha is that he's not mechuyev to give over the program or the item, the coat or the gown or the computer program that was created for the client until the client pays the money which he's demanding, if that was the price that was made up. Whereas gvias choyev midrabbanan gvias choyev, if it's disputed by the loiva, Bezdin will take into consideration the fact that chazal in former times, the halacha, the way it is in Shulchan Aruch, would be that the malva would have to swear. Even though Bezman Hazeh we don't swear, but the Bezdin, when deciding how much money to be made from the Malvin, will take into account that the Malvin, in order to claim the full amount that he is claiming, would have had to make a shvua.
This audio series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Le'inyoni Mishpat, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha. The Beis Havad is committed to guiding and assisting the Torah community with their halachic financial needs. The Beis Havad is available for halachic mediation, contract and iska draft and review, partnership structure and dissolution, inyani yerusha, wills and estates, and other halachic financial services. They also provide a widely popular Choshen Mishpat consultation line and publish the Journal of Talmudic Law and Finance. To call for a consultation, to order this series, or to sign up to receive the Journal of Talmudic Law and Finance, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223 or email info@beishavad.com.